Do you remember the Feingold diet? It was a very big deal back in the 1970s, and we featured it lots on The Science Show. Dr. Feingold in America was vociferous about his condemnation of the manufacturers who put colours and artificial flavours in the foods and drinks of our children. It caused them to go hyperactive, he said. Some of them, anyway. So what happened next? Well, plenty, here and in America. The name hyperactive got changed for a start. Now we have lots and lots of initials. And the diets? Well, here's Joan Brakey, a dietitian who studied the matter for 30 years. She's in private practice in Brisbane, and she begins with a startling question.
Should artificial colours be banned? The quick answer is to say no. This would please many people who hope that that means thinking about the role of diet in behaviour and ADHD, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, can then be dismissed. But they would be wrong. We need to be careful we do not go to extremes in our reaction. The evidence may not be sufficient to justify banning artificial colours, but it's certainly sufficient for those who are food intolerant to have their condition recognised. Artificial colours do cause reactions in some children, and it is time this was acknowledged by everyone. Allergies are acknowledged as significant, but foods causing allergies do not need to be banned, as they do not affect everyone. For the same reason, artificial colours do not need to be banned. Whether or not artificial colours affect everyone is where some confusion occurs. A study done in the general population and recently published in The Lancet, a well-respected medical journal, reported that 6 artificial colours and the preservative benzoate caused increased hyperactivity and attention problems in children. But, to make a long story short, it was shown that some children changed a lot, whereas others changed only a little. Overall, the results were significant statistically, so they showed that reactions are certainly occurring. The most important result of that study was that it showed that children in the general population do react to these additives, showing changes in distractibility, impulsivity, and restlessness. It's not known why some children change greatly and others not at all. This difference in response was also found by other researchers managing this complex question in the past. Some toxicological research has shown variation in the speed of metabolism of the suspect aromatic compounds in different individuals, just as there is variation in the rate that people metabolise other chemicals. This is often identified with regard to medications. Perhaps most children are able to metabolise the chemicals quickly enough not to suffer any adverse reactions to them. Who is most likely to respond? From both my clinical research and review of the literature, those most likely to respond to dietary investigation include those with a family history of allergy, those as well as having another group of symptoms, migraine, headaches, irritable bowel syndrome, mouth ulcers, car sickness, or limb pains, and a family member who has an adverse reaction to aspirin, those with an increased sensitivity to smell, both in food and in the environment, those with an increased sensitivity to taste, called fussy, and those who have seen a definite adverse reaction to a food or additive in the past. They may also have increased body odour or bad breath. Not only is there variation in which children react, but there's also variation in what changes. The research published over the last 30 years has also shown that diet affects symptoms other than the ADHD symptoms. The most important finding by several teams was that the behaviour that diet changes most is irritable, touchy and cranky. Unfortunately, the recent research did not investigate mood, so could not report on this. We additionally know that some children using diet for symptoms such as eczema also report improvements in some of the ADHD symptoms. If artificial colours affected everyone, the issue would become a public health problem. The Australian and New Zealand Food Standards Authority would look at the risk to everyone and decide if there was a safe dose that could be allowed. If not, it would have to be banned. This was an issue 30 years ago, when the use of artificial colours and flavours was first researched. Since they did not cause hyperactivity in children, but some children definitely did react, it was decided that ingredient labelling should become food law. The recognition that some people react to various additives needs a revived awareness and acceptance, as now occurs with allergy. People are aware that allergies and how important they are, both because they can cause serious reactions such as anaphylaxis, as well as milder but still important reactions such as hives, eczema and diarrhea. Food chemicals are important as they can also produce or aggravate these allergic symptoms, as well as the ADHD, irritable behaviour, sleep problems and the range of other physical symptoms mentioned earlier. Food sensitivity is a multi-system disorder. The other request by those who want artificial colours banned is to have them replaced by natural colours, which they report as causing less reactions. Unfortunately, natural colours also cause reactions in the same population. When they were first used in low doses, they were better tolerated. But as the food industry used increasing amounts to make their products more appealing, the reactions increased. The other problem to be aware of is what the food industry will make the natural colours from. They cannot use any food that's not approved by the Food Standards Authority, but that will mean using a wide variety of plant products that can then be another possible source of allergens. If so, we might improve the conditions of the food chemically sensitive children only by worsening the situation for the food allergic children. Another reason for not banning artificial colours is that they are not the only chemical to cause reactions. Artificial flavours were part of the initial suspect additives. They have a similar chemical structure to colours, but have not received much attention. Researchers did not consider them, and they would have been difficult to disguise in double-blind, placebo-controlled research. However, they were accidentally excluded from research each time artificial colours were, as they're often in the same foods. But families testing white, flavoured lollies or uncoloured, flavoured Panadol paediatric syrup reported reactions. As well, artificial flavours are used in 10 times the dose of colours, so just changing the colours may not make a useful difference. If the same flavours were still used with the natural colours, their presence would swamp any effect from the change in colours. And to make things even more complicated, at least half of those who react to colours also react to chocolate and tomato sauce, and we do not want to ban those. Other chemicals that cause reactions include most preservatives and natural chemicals high in salicylate, such as tomato sauce, amines, high in chocolate, and natural and added monosodium glutamate, often used in Asian food. These natural suspect chemicals are high in strongly flavoured foods, reminding that as the amount of flavour in food increases, so does the likelihood of reactions. So instead of concentrating on colours, it may be better to attend to flavour rather than colour, whether natural or artificial. Food sensitivity is not a neat condition. If doctors knew the problem mechanism and there was a test that showed whether or not someone was food sensitive, more people would be believed. Because food intolerance does not show up on tests as allergy does, this does not happen. And because people with food sensitivity colloquially call their reactions allergy, they are criticised and told that unless they show positive in allergy tests, their reactions do not occur. Those who report reactions have even been called hypochondriacs or hysterics. But just because the mechanism is not known does not mean the condition does not exist. It means the biochemical pathways are complex. And because the diet sounds a bit of an effort, many health professionals presume family will not want to or manage the diet changes. I continue to be pleasantly surprised at how often and how much effort families go to in order to find out what their child is really like after they have, with the help of a dietitian, put the child on an elimination diet and challenged with foods to see which suspect chemicals affect their child. What should happen? The Lancet report has confirmed earlier evidence that food intolerance does exist. At the international level, there is an acceptable daily intake determined through the establishment of the No Observed Adverse Level, which is the maximum level of additive that has no demonstrable toxic effect. It is determined by the joint FAC-WHO Expert Committee on Food Additives, incorporating the amount that can be ingested over a lifetime without appreciable health risk. While additives are not dangerous from the point of view of concerning toxic effects, their effect on behaviour and other symptoms should be acknowledged as part of the appreciable health risks to some. This acknowledgement would help prevent the undermining of people's faith in food standards when they see reactions to foods which are unsupported by those in authority. Those wanting the artificial colours to be banned hope that by doing so would provide this acknowledgement. But the problem is not best solved by banning. At the public health level in Australia, there is a need for a structure whereby adverse reactions to food can be reported by professionals supervising diet investigation. Just as there is a structure where doctors can report on suspected adverse reactions to medications. This would mean that definite reactions found during diet challenge would be properly acknowledged. More would be known about the extent of the problem and how those affected can best be helped. At a clinical level, food-sensitive people need help. If families suspect their children are reacting to food or want to investigate diet, they should feel they can discuss this with their doctor and see a dietitian. This way they can be guided in how to investigate diet so they have the maximum chance of finding out whether or not they're sensitive and of getting the best results in improved behaviour. Each child is different in what food chemicals they react to, the amount of favourite foods they may tolerate, and the behaviours that may be aggravated by diet. Overall, suspect additives and natural chemicals are best thought of as aggravating the underlying problems in susceptible people.
So it depends on who you are as well as what you eat. Joan Brakey is a dietitian and she practices in Brisbane. Next week, Doug Richards in California asks how we can turn on young people to science and how to turn them off. I'm Robin Williams.